Hello, hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of Skeptics and Seekers Shorts. This is from the Christian Post. I've got to make a couple of warnings before I get started. This article is gross. Well, not the article. It's just news. But this story is gross. There are, I want to say, three events tucked into this story. One worse than the other. I'm not mocking the people in this story. I'm not mocking anything, anyone. These are terrible events. But I feel like we need to discuss terrible events from time to time. The other warning is, you know, I'm a lousy reader of screens because I don't see well. And so when I'm reading for myself, I read in a different way than what I do when I've got a giant microphone in front of me. There's also going to be a little bit of extra background noise. A lot going on right now. This is actually the second time I've tried to record this. It's very early in the morning, and I'm very tired. But the other thing I wanted to say is there are a lot of African names that I'm not familiar with. I've tried to kind of wrap my tongue around them, and I cannot. So there's no mockery intended with any of the names and stumbling over things. Some of it I will just skip and say generic things. Other times I will try it, but I'm not mocking anything. It's just my ignorance. Okay, that's enough disclaimer. The Christian Post. Oh. Pastor sets woman on fire trying to perform deliverance. Oh, boy. A woman suffered severe burns during a deliverance ceremony led by a pastor of Nigeria's Ogun State. The incident occurred when the pastor lit a candle after dousing the woman in perfume, causing her to catch fire. All right. I'm going to cut the pastor just a tiny bit of slack, tiny bit. After all, the Bible, the New Testament, folks, teaches that, you know, if you want to have an elder, pastor, leader heal someone, that they are to be anointed with oil. Yes, it uses oil magic in the New Testament. Now, the problem is it doesn't give us the actual magic formula. So we have no idea how much oil to use, nor do we have any idea of what oil to use. There are so many things that could be considered oil. Now, it doesn't say to also have a fire nearby. But again, if you're just looking at church tradition, candles are used for all kinds of things in the Catholic Church and High Church and so forth. It's not a big reach to associate oil and fire. Of course, anyone who's ever barbecued knows the volatile combination of incendiary fluids and a match. We count on it. So here's the thing. I don't know the educational status or any such thing of the people involved, but I bet they all know how to make fire. Fire is very old. It's a very old thing. We know about incendiaries. All right, we know about lighter fluids. We know about different things that accelerate fire. accelerants. We know. So the woman must have had some knowledge that this could be dangerous as she's being doused with these perfumes. And as the fire was lit, she must have had some knowledge of that. The preacher must have had some knowledge of the possibility of what could go wrong. But what happens in religious services is people set aside these you know, practical concerns and do the religious thing. They are practicing their religion. And so there's a part of their brain that shuts off and says, what could possibly go wrong? It's just like the super spreader events that happened in churches in America. Yeah, the pastors were motivated by money, I think. But maybe there were some few that were just motivated by religious fervor. And so they didn't just have normal services. They had super spreader events. And they spread and many members died. And they did not care. They just covered it up with their religion. They are no better than this pastor who set this woman on fire for Jesus. Sukaru Awadoni, a 21-year-old woman, was set ablaze by Pastor Tao Odibaying at his Cherubim and Seraphim Mabaro Parish, located in often Sagamo area of Ungun State. The incident occurred on August 17th when the woman visited the church for a special prayer at the pastor's invitation. Yeah, this was an invitational event. The pastor, probably doing some door-knocking campaign, who knows, discovered that this woman had some kind of need and promised some kind of cure. Should he be responsible for this? Should he be held responsible, liable? Since it was at his initiative? Or should the woman be held responsible? Because after all, she was looking for some kind of magical solution and maybe should have known better. I honestly don't know. We might come back to this. The pastor had directed the woman to purchase Amazing Grace perfume, local eggs, and a candle for the special prayer. Boy, this reminds me of God telling Abraham to light up his son Isaac, and Abraham had to go get the wood and build the altar. I don't know anything about this situation, but this feels like American evangelists who have special things to sell people, you know, maybe special hand cloths that have been touched by men of magic that are supposed to have magical cures. I suspect this Amazing Grace perfume was made by the church, sold by the church. She had to buy it. The candle, yes, the instrument of torture, she had to buy that. Local eggs, I'm pretty familiar with, you know, church rituals. I don't know where the eggs come in. Can anyone, if you know of a Christian ritual that uses eggs, let me know. Yeah, that one stumped me. While praying, the pastor poured the perfume on the woman and lit the candle. Awadoni immediately caught fire, sustaining severe burns to her chest, shoulders, and legs. The authorities got involved, and they're investigating the case. But here's the thing. why investigate the case? This is a church. This is a religious ceremony. These were consenting adults doing a religious thing. What's there to investigate? Are you actually going to decide that a church did an illegal thing in the name of God? If they do it in the name of God, what we're learning in this country is that they can do any damn thing they want. It's religion. You can't stop people from religioning. So I just wonder what the investigation is about. We know the facts. We know the deets. So what are you going to do? It may be a good question for us to ask too. The lady was said to have been abandoned to fend for her medical bills after the incident. The victim has been taken to the hospital for medical attention. Well, okay. Again, she's been abandoned to fend for herself with her medical bills? Of course, it's her medical bills. So who is liable for things like this? If a church member goes to a super spreader event and gets COVID and dies, does the family have the right to sue the church? Well, in America, no. It's that individual's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. The church is just doing church. They're just doing religion. So what do you think? Whose responsibility is this? The woman on fire for the Jesus? Or the man who set the fire? Look, I'm asking, I may be leading the question a bit, but here's the thing, I don't really know. I don't really know. I mentioned there were two other things. Last July, police in Nigeria rescued at least 77 people, including 23 children, whom pastors had ordered to stay in a church basement and wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Pastors, it's multiple pastors of the Whole Bible Believer Church in this area of Unden Town in the southwestern state of Unden encouraged church members to stay behind and wait for the rapture or be taken to heaven at the second coming of Christ. Police learned about the incident after parents of some children filed nuisance complaints. One woman said the church had possibly kidnapped her daughter. Okay, you probably sent your daughter to this church, not knowing enough about this church. And the article says that they encouraged people to stay. It didn't say they forced people to stay. It's just religion. Stay in this basement and wait for the second coming of Christ. Is that wrong? In June, here's the third one. This is terrible. More than 300 bodies were found in Kenya after a cult leader, Pastor Paul McKenzie. Hang on, let me stop you right there. Why are you calling Pastor Paul McKenzie a cult leader? These are Christians calling him a cult leader. Why are you doing that? How are you distinguishing this guy's crazy religious practices from your crazy religious practices? You drink kind of an effigy of a man's dead body and blood every week. And that guy's a cult leader? I'd love to know the distinction. I know that that guy is maybe more dangerous than you, but he's not crazier than you. Go back to the story. Pastor Paul McKenzie, who leads what is known as Good News International Church, encouraged his followers to starve themselves in order to meet Jesus. Yeah, okay. Right, that sounds about right. What exactly is wrong with this story? Again, he encouraged his followers to do it. His followers are the ones who did it. Furthermore, the Bible is pretty big. The New Testament is big on fasting. It doesn't give any specific instructions on how this magic works. So it leaves people to try to figure it out, but it's a biblical idea that if you want to be closer to Jesus, you will fast, which is to say, you will starve yourself a little, and you will get closer to Jesus. And maybe if you starve yourself more, you will get even closer to Jesus. The ultimate conclusion to this nonsense is if you starve yourself completely, you will be in the presence of Jesus completely. I mean, it's not far-fetched. We can see how the religious mind gets there. 300 bodies. I mean, wow, this guy must have been hella persuasive. 300 bodies. Fasting for Jesus. You see, I guess the moral of this story is religion without regulation can do anything and just say in the name of Jesus, and they're protected by their state. 300 bodies. They can do anything unregulated. Isn't it time we regulate Christianity? Isn't it time we regulate religion? We regulate Coca-Cola, for Pete's sake. We regulate power companies. We regulate telephone companies and tell them what kind of adapter they need to include in the box or what kind of port goes on the end of the phone. But we don't regulate people who are manipulated by pastors and charlatans getting people to do horrendous things in the name of Jesus. Now, that's not regulated at all. It's religion, and we can't touch it. Isn't it about time we touch religion at least as much as we touch iPhones? Because this isn't just a deep, dark, shithole country problem. This is an American and all-around-the-world problem. Wherever religion lives, this kind of thing lives. Isn't it time that we put some boundaries around what religion can do? I think it is. That's my time. I'm out.